Well, everyone, welcome to Box Box Podcast. If it's your first time here, nice one. If it's more than your first time here, it's good to see you again. We've obviously just come off the back of the Las Vegas Grand Prix, but before we get into that, let's introduce ourselves. We are Box Box Podcast, powered by Box Box Club. And every single week, we bring you the greatest F1 podcast on the planet. That's up for debate, but that's our opinion. Anyway, do make sure you check us out on social media. Just search Box Box Pod on Instagram and Box Box Clips on TikTok, where we do upload daily. Like I say, if you're new here, do like, subscribe, and comment down below, even if you're not new. But every time we say something that you agree with or disagree with, we really like it when you do engage with the podcast, and it makes such a big difference to the episode. Yeah, if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, do make sure you give us a 5-star rating, because that makes a big difference to the podcast. And we like it. It makes us feel good. But anyway, we have a lot to dive into. Let's get on with it. All right, guys, how are you doing? So if you woke up for the Las Vegas Grand Prix, fair play to you all. It was, in my opinion, boring.
Was it worth getting out of bed for?
No, not in the slightest.
I would probably agree with that. I was quite unlucky, right? For whatever reason, you know, like you just wake up in the night sometimes. I woke up at 3:30, which was like 25 minutes before my alarm, and I was like, there's no point going back to sleep, because then my alarm will go off and I'll just feel awful. So yeah, I must admit, you know, after that first lap, I was thinking, this actually could be worth it. It wasn't. It was a situation that was, you know, kind of classic to this season, I would say. DRS trains, not too much racing. Once a driver was in clean air, that was kind of it. But I think, you know, most of the action has now happened after the race, and if you don't know what we're talking about, that is obviously a double DSQ for the McLarens, which does spice up this championship a little bit. But I agree with you, maybe I wish I had recorded it and watched it when I woke up at a human hour.
Let's get into it. So, because yeah, we're recording what, 3 hours after the race has finished?
Yeah, it's now 10 a.m. UK time, and the race was 4 a.m.
It's probably a bit longer than that. It's just been announced that McLaren drivers Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris have been disqualified from the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Apparently, the rearmost skid wear on both McLaren's machines were found to be below the minimum 9mm thickness by technical delegates on inspection. Obviously, as we know, at the end of the race, Lando Norris was losing a hell of a lot of time. I was thinking, actually, has he got enough fuel here? What's going on here? But both cars, both McLarens, got looked at and inspected. And yeah, they've both been disqualified, which is mental, because currently that means after today's race, Max Verstappen is now tied with Oscar Piastri on the championship points on 366 points. Lando Norris is 24 points ahead on 390. This championship battle is heating up with two races to go. So,
because let's not forget, right, we've got a sprint race here. And one thing I do wish, and this is, I'm not like Matt, I'm different. This is not a Lando agenda. This is purely a championship agenda, right?
Give it a break. Right.
I would have loved it if Oscar didn't get disqualified. And that isn't because I don't want Lando to win or whatever. At this point, look, I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. Out of the three of these boys, I don't give a monkey's who wins it. I just want a good championship battle. It would have been way more exciting if it was just Lando that got disqualified, because then I believe Oscar would have been about 8 or 9 points behind. It might have even been 7, I can't remember. And then that could have, you know, really heated up with a sprint race and 2 more races to go. But Oscar did also get disqualified. And I just want to say, it didn't cross my mind while watching the race, but I do remember distinctly, I believe it was when Oscar was overtaking Isaac Hadjar. And there was a hell of a lot of sparks coming off.
I thought the floor of that car. My initial reaction to that is I thought he had a puncture.
Yeah, I thought there was damage.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a wing or whatever, yeah. I thought, holy, like he must have tagged him because they cut to it as he was overtaken. All you could see was sparks. And I mean, it probably didn't click at the time, number one, because I'm not that bright, and number two, because it was like 4 a.m. But it now, with this coming out, it does make sense because you think of when we've seen stuff like this before. I mean, most notably, Lewis Hamilton last year at the Texas Grand Prix. You remember seeing loads of sparks coming off his car. And what I will say is these tests are random, are they not? For those listening, I just did air quotes with my fingers, which is pretty nostalgic. But they never seem to be random. Would it be random that Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris get picked when they're driving around with sparks flying off their car? I don't actually know the rules behind it, but I swear they are described as random. And we go back to COTA last year when Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton get randomly selected and they get disqualified. It doesn't seem that random to me, which I'm not opposed against. Ultimately, if it's, you know, you're breaking the rules, you're breaking the rules. You should be disqualified. And if they suspect that you may be under the plankware limit, or over the plankware limit, sorry, then you should be disqualified and they should investigate that at the end of the race. But it really does heat up this championship battle. And that is obviously why Lando was slowing down at the end of the race, because they were aware that, you know, he had this issue. And for those of you that don't know, with these cars specifically, the faster you drive, the more you get sucked to the floor. So essentially, the lower the car runs, which is why he was losing time, because he was having to drive slower to, in theory, reduce the wear.
So just so the minimum thickness is 9 millimeters. From what is being reported, the measurements were 8.88 millimeters.
It's a game of fine margins, right? And I remember us saying this when it happened to Lewis last year, because obviously we were annoyed. That is frustrating, right? If you're a Lando fan, particularly if you're a Lando fan, but if you're an Oscar fan, McLaren fan, it does feel unfair. But these are like, this is the rule. And if you're 0.01 millimeter under, you have to apply the rules. And it's a strict disqualification. And look, it's great for the championship battle. For us as fans, the neutral fans in this, and for the Max fans, this will be music to everyone's ears, because this does give us a little something to hold on to for when we get to Abu Dhabi, to hopefully have a title that can be decided on the final day of the season.
Well, ultimately, that means, with those two disqualifications, that means Kimi Antonelli goes on the podium once again.
Yeah. No, it's
impressive.
Do you want to dive into the teams? Because we can start with Mercedes if you want.
Well, I was thinking, let's start with McLaren, because we've been talking about McLaren. Let's get McLaren out of the way, because I have something I want to say, and I'm a bit confused here, because where the hell is Oscar Piastri? Because I do not believe for one second this guy has forgotten how to drive. I mean, has he been like kidnapped and has he been replaced or something? I don't know if you guys remember when Mercedes did that, you know, fun video of where Will Smith kidnapped Lewis Hamilton, and then, you know, Will Smith supposedly went out and drove. Has something happened to Oscar Piastri? Because I still stand by what I said throughout the season. I stood firmly that Oscar Piastri was going to go on and win this world championship, from his performances, his composure, his just all round phenomenal racing. Come after the summer break, it is like somebody has replaced him and we've got someone who does not know how to drive. And it's baffling me. It really is baffling me. And the only conclusion I can come to now is actually he's been kidnapped and he's been replaced by some sort of clone who just doesn't know how to drive. Because surely you can't have a driver who is that composed, who does such good racing, to then go, yeah, do you know what? I forgot how to drive. I can't work it out. I really can't work it out.
Because I would always say, like, even Oscar's demeanor in interviews has changed. He doesn't seem as like cool, calm. I mean, obviously, like, look, he'll be feeling all the emotions that we as normal humans feel. He'll know that the championship has slipped away, and he's only maybe got himself to blame for that. But I agree with you. It's strange as hell, you know. The Oscar was nowhere in qualifying. He was nearly a second off Lando, his teammate, in qualifying pace. And yeah, to me, it doesn't add up. And I think what will be really interesting will be, we know that Oscar is good around Qatar, right? That's, correct me if I'm wrong, where he won his first race, albeit sprint race. If Oscar is well off it, I can't put my finger on it. Look, I've said so many times, I don't subscribe to the McLaren is sabotaging him notion, but there's something unexplainable happening with Oscar Piastri. But one thing I do wanna pull you up on is earlier in the season, when, you know, this was conclusively a McLaren season, you said if Lando Norris finishes third in this championship battle, then that is embarrassing. Do you have the same energy towards Oscar Piastri if he finishes third in this championship?
I have more energy to that comment because I think it's even more embarrassing if Oscar Piastri finishes third in this championship. He had his championship under control, okay? He looked composed, he looked fantastic, and actually, I think a lot of people started to change their opinion in the fact that actually Oscar Piastri was favourite to go and win this world title. All of a sudden, if he finishes
third... Even I did!
Yeah, exactly. If he finishes third, that's more embarrassing than Lando Norris finishing third, in my opinion. And, you know, I wanted Oscar to win, and that's nothing against Lando Norris, but I like Oscar Piastri. I thought he was going to go on and do it. But I'm really disappointed in him. And whether, you know, he wouldn't give a crap whether I'm disappointed in him, whatever, but I'm really disappointed to see. And actually, it's more heartbreaking than anything, seeing someone who was so dominant at this for a big chunk of this season to then just fall off this much. It's embarrassing, but also I feel sorry for the guy. I feel sorry for him because that must be so demoralizing, going, oh yeah, Oscar Piastri, you know, you're performing brilliant, you've got this in the bag, to then all of a sudden finishing third in the championship. Yeah, if Oscar Piastri finishes third in his championship, that is one of the biggest fumbles I've seen in a long time.
I think probably the worst part about it is, I know, I would have done the same thing. At some point, probably after Zandvoort, Oscar Piastri has sat at a bar with his mates and gone, here's to the championship, boys. Clinked a glass and then necked a pint. Or a schooner, if you're Oscar Piastri. But I'm actually with you. Like, I feel sorry for him because a lot of this is so inexplainable. I don't understand it. Oscar Piastri is an unbelievable driver, and for the best part of the season, he's shown us that he is world championship material. If he's got a car, he will deliver the results. And this switch up is, I genuinely don't recall seeing a switch up like this. Arguably, ever. Like, he's not necessarily had like a crash out moment. Like, you can go back to, people always call me out because I get my years mixed up a little bit. I'm going to say 2018 Seb at Hockenheim, right? Where he had that distinctive crash out moment. And that was the championship done for Seb. You know, he was going to win the race. He pissed it up the wall. And that was it. Championship gone from that point onwards. Oscar hasn't really had that. He's just all of a sudden become mediocre. And it's not something that I believe is true to Oscar. I don't think he's a mediocre driver. I don't think he's a driver that fumbles a championship. It's not a quality that he displays. Mm. And I don't think I'll ever put my finger on it. But, you know, there was the thing of Oscar resharing. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see about Oscar resharing that post essentially saying that McLaren have manufactured this for Lando because he's way more marketable, he's the post boy, etc. I actually don't even know if that's like legit, by the way. That's why I didn't really want to bring it up as a topic. But I think there may be things that come out if Oscar Piastri does leave the team. And there is a lot of rumours floating around that Oscar Piastri is trying to get out of McLaren. And he clearly believes that something is going on. Because like us, he's probably sitting there thinking like, 2 months ago, I was fucking world champion. Hmm. And now all of a sudden, I look like a bang average driver. I'd be like, that isn't adding up.
You know, I think when you... There was also speculation that Oscar Piastri was having those personal things going on. Whether that is true, I don't know. And obviously we know whenever people have personal stuff going on, when you're in a high intensity sport or whatever, it can affect your performance maybe. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I did see that apparently repost, and I think Oscar Piastri was asked about it, and his response was very much, well, I may have done it in my sleep, I don't recall it. But yeah, well,
Oscar Piastri just doesn't... Can I just say, that new repost feature is incredibly easy to tap. Mm-hmm. I've done it like multiple times, and just like then instantly undone it, but... It is, you know, like your fingers are used to going in certain places, especially on something like Instagram, which everyone spends hours a day on. That I don't think Oscar Piastri would do something like that purposefully. He's not an idiot. That is one thing.
I also think he's professional enough. And there's something going on, and I can't put my finger on it. And we may find out come the end of the season. We may find out when he actually eventually leaves McLaren. I don't know, but. Even in his, like, in qualifying, you saw the video when, you know, the team interviews him. How do you think when, it just doesn't look himself. And I really can't put my finger on it. And look, take nothing away from Lando Norris. I know he's got disqualified this weekend, but he put it on pole. He then went to get on P2. The issue is I don't quite understand today is what is this whole thing of going, do you want me to overtake? Like... No, actually, lads, I want you just to hold your position, you know, and we'll get on to George Russell. Don't get me started on George Russell because I've got a bone to pick with him. So please stay for that because stay tuned for that because I have a bit to say about George Russell. But Lando Norris came over and went, do you want me to use DRS to overtake? What?
Yeah, look, well, also, I don't know about you. Because he obviously spoke to his engineer about this. His engineer gives me anxiety. Mm. He always sounds like he's panicking.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, like it's maybe it's the way he communicates things. He comes over and he's like, yeah, overtaking, we're going for Max. And it's like, oh my God, like you've just stressed me the fuck out. Like I'm driving around at like 200 miles an hour here. It's like, calm down. Like, I always go back to... Like, I then think of Bono communicating with Lewis over the radio and how just, like, cool and calm it always was.
But you've also got, like, GP and Max.
GP, like, you know, GP never comes over the radio with that, like, stress tone. But, yeah, Will Joseph is always, like... He fucking gives me anxiety.
I get it. Don't get me wrong. You know, this is for both of them a massive opportunity now to go on and win a first world championship. You know, so I understand from both, you know, Lando and Will Joseph that actually this is like, and especially for Will Joseph, being in this championship battle is kind of like he wants to get it right. But my God, I'm sitting there going, like, chill, just chill out. Yeah. Like it's fine.
Yeah, I don't. Look, I know the point you're going to say. Why are we asking if we should overtake drivers? It's your job. Yes, overtake them. What do you want? No, pull up and go through the drive-through Starbucks. Like, I don't understand how we have come to this. And I know I've used this reference before when it comes to tyres, but obviously Jeremy Clarkson tweeted saying, yeah, I don't want to see drivers going around a track at near top speed just so they can like preserve their tyres and go for as long as whatever, because then it just becomes a race about strategy. Why? The same applies to overtaking. Lads, that's like your only job. The binman doesn't turn up to work and say, ooh, should I collect these sacks today or should I just leave them? Everyone turns up and does their job. Like, could you imagine a doctor asking that? Someone bleeding out on the table and he's like, should I save him? Yes, save him. And they're asking if they should overtake. I can't wrap my head around it as well. But we should say also about Lando, turn one, lap one. That, I cracked up at that. Look, Lando has not got a good reputation for holding his pole position qualifications in lap one. I think this, he's lost 8 out of 16 of them. And today was hilarious because I do think, I look at Lando racing Max how I look at Max racing Lewis, right? No matter what your thoughts are on Max Verstappen, and what I'm not going to do is take any shit in the comments from people saying you're just a Max hater. Max Verstappen is the best driver on the grid. I said this last week or the week before, I can't remember. Potentially the greatest driver of all time. He's definitely in the debate, and if someone wanted to argue that with me, I couldn't really argue back in the same way. He's in the conversation with Lewis and Michael, in my opinion. Max Verstappen, whenever he drives up against Lewis Hamilton, completely forgets about staying on the track, and he just thinks, how can I crash into him? He loses his head completely, and I feel like Lando is the same against Max. Lando covered him off, but he was so worried about just covering Max off that he forgot to fucking brake. I mean, the one thing you have to do is stay on the track. And he completely forgot to do that and lost two positions. I thought it was classic Lando racing Max. He finds it difficult.
It was weird because my initial, in a space of like a 5 second period, I went from going, all right, I respect that. That's quite an aggressive attack on Max. I like that. To then go in, there's old Lando back and losing two places initially. So I went from going, actually, that's, decent covering that. I like that. To then going, there he is. He's back. And, you know, but I was just thinking, you know, come on now.
But look, it was another great weekend for Lando. And the race was disappointing. Like, he will be disappointed that he didn't win the race. I know he got disqualified anyway, but, like, that is kind of not relevant here. Because he should have gone on to win. That was, as in his own words, he fucked up in the first corner. And, you know, that kind of is what it is. Luckily, it is irrelevant now at this point, because he could have finished 10th and it wouldn't have made a difference because he got disqualified. But, yeah, look, it is what it is for McLaren. It turned out to be a very disappointing weekend for them.
Mm. Do let us know what your thoughts are on McLaren. Let's get on to Mercedes, because I want to talk about this, because I am raging. George Russell, this weekend, you have pissed me off, because, I even put it in a group chat. I was raging with this. George Russell, right? I know he's pals with Lando Norris, okay? And, you know, they've got that group and they all started. They're having their 150th Grand Prix and all of this stuff. George Russell saying he wouldn't want to defend Norris because of the risk of actually losing a podium position. I am not being funny, all right? What is this mentality? What are we doing here? This is F1, the pinnacle of motorsport. And you've got these drivers who, you know, Lucas said and I have said, are championship material, right? Coming over the radio going, look, I don't really want to defend him, lads, because, you know, I don't really want to muck up my tyres. I want to get a P3. I'm happy with a P3. What is this mentality? And why have we come to this point where we are accepting this? You would never hear this from Max Verstappen. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever heard Max Verstappen come over the radio and go, do you know what, lads? I'm quite happy to lose P2 or P1. As long as I'm on the podium, that means a lot to me here. What is this?
Yeah, because don't forget, right? If you don't win the race, you've lost the race. There's only one winner. I feel the exact same. I don't understand it. And look, I understand to some extent that it's more important to preserve a position than it is to, you know, fight someone. But George Russell isn't fighting for anything. Do you know what I mean? It's not like George is leading the championship and he's like, oh, clearly we're off the pace a little bit today. Do you know what? P3, I can settle for. I just need to not crash out because I'm in this championship battle. George Russell at this point should be doing absolutely everything to climb up. Do you know what? Like, finishing P2 is better than finishing P3. That goes without saying. And yeah, to just be like, I won't defend this. I think that's another issue in racing. Like, I want to see people defend every position, you know, with everything they've got, because that's how racing should be. I get it's way more strategic and tactical, and you're going to think, oh, look at you two with your little chimp brains just thinking, you know, it's all about going for this, or look at the bigger picture. Like, I'm sorry, as a fan, I sit there and watch it, and I would rather drivers defend their position with everything they've got, especially when it's for a P2. Fair enough if George was P18. But look, this, yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't understand.
Answer me this, right? If that was Oscar Piastri in P3, do you think George would have done the same?
Yeah, probably. I don't think it was to do with, like, friendship. I do think it was more to do with George was just trying to get that podium, but I would have rather have just held on. Like, I would have raced it. Fuck it. Yeah. Like, that's I'm sorry, P2 is way better than P3. I don't care what anyone says.
That, I, you know, the overtake Lando did on George was the most easiest thing ever. Like, and you know, we've sat on this podcast and we've praised the likes of George Russell and said, you know what, they are looking more and more like, in the future, championship material. Like these drivers. But that today for me was just, I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, I appreciate all, like, his strategy and all of his stuff and tire wear and that. But come on, when are we actually going to start making Formula One about going, you've got the 20 best drivers in there going as fast as they can to win races, instead of this whole thing of like, well, I'm going to let him pass and I'm just going to drive around on my own air in cool air just so I'll protect the tyres. So we can... It's boring. Like, if any of you watched that Las Vegas Grand Prix today and went, that was really exciting, please drop a comment, because in my opinion, today was boring and we've had a hell of a lot of boring races this year because of this.
Well, you talk about tyres, you know, that's the perfect segue onto Kimi Antonelli, because let's not forget, he did like 47, 48 laps on the hard tyres. You know, he started on the soft, came in and pitted under the VSC, and just did the rest of the race on the hard tyre, which should not be, in my opinion, possible. that should not be a thing. You know, it does not necessarily make for the most entertaining race. And look, this takes nothing away from Kimi, that it worked out great for him. You know, even with a 5-second penalty, he finished...
Finished P3 in the end. He finished P5. Well, so he managed to get the gap from even from Charles Leclerc on the final couple of laps. But obviously with the disqualifications, he's on the podium, P3. Starting P17, it's a phenomenal weekend for Kimi Antonelli. And I have to say with Kimi, he's just looking better and better. This relationship that he's got with Bono, don't get me wrong, qualifying was pretty poor for him, okay? But it was poor for a few others as well. But Kimi's race pace is just getting, he's just looking better and better. And it really is great to see, because we've sat on this podcast and we've questioned whether he had it in him to go and take it to other drivers. But Kimi's defence of Charles Leclerc and even Oscar Piastri today was brilliant.
Yeah. Kimi was unbelievable today. And, you know, it's not his fault that the tyres lasted forever. That's the game. This is Pirelli's issue. But, yeah, look, the fact that Kimi Antonelli was able to pull that gap on Charles Leclerc towards the end of the race, despite the fact that Charles' tyres were about 30 laps younger, or whatever, maybe 20, it's a testament. He was great today, because the Ferraris throughout the weekend looked good. We can't shy away. I mean, we can talk about Ferrari if you like.
Yes, good Ferrari.
Because Ferrari had a characteristically poor weekend. Look, we can't glaze over the fact that Lewis Hamilton qualified dead last for the first time in his career. That qualifying session, look, don't get me wrong, Lewis had a bit of bad luck with the yellows. He did, but everyone knew that you needed to get cars out into clean air. You know, that's what Aston Martin did really well with Fernando Alonso. Lewis, yeah, just always seems to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the bollard thing, I've got no explanation for that, because I've watched the onboard and Lewis seemingly
just drives into it.
I can't explain it. I don't know whether, you know, he was anticipating the car to understeer, whether he was looking down at his dash. I don't know whether he was thinking about his in and out order later on that evening. I actually don't know what was going on, but he did just drive into it. I got no explanation for it. And
he looked like he just got bored and he was like, you know what, I can't be asked to do a proper turn here, let's just go through here. And then that's literally, yeah, like, maybe he couldn't be asked.
Maybe he just thought, fuck it, let's just fuck this bollard off, I'm pissed off. So he just crashed into it. But it was then stuck under his car, which, do you know what? I'm not going to lie, I actually don't think that affected his time. I think if he didn't get those yellows, he would have been, if he didn't like encounter those yellow flags, he would have made it through. And then obviously there was confusion as he crossed the line. He did make it so he could have gone again. But yeah, we cannot glaze over the fact that that was another poor qualifying from Lewis Hamilton. This isn't just in the Ferrari. You know, this happened in the Mercedes, and it's really hard to wrap your head around, because Lewis has always been sensational, and he's never been a poor qualifier. I would say Lewis is someone that has always been a better racer than qualifier. I think that's probably a fair assessment. But he's, you know, he's the greatest driver of all time. He's pretty good at both. And this drop-off, because I stand by the fact that his race pace has been pretty good this season.
But his race pace was always good in the Mercedes. You know, his qualifying was always the thing that ruined his races, because he ended up qualifying P7, P8, P9. You know, but then his race pace was always relatively good. And this has always been a factor with Lewis for the last couple of years now. And, you know, we said last year that actually if he goes into Ferrari and his qualifying improves massively, then Mercedes have something to answer to. He's come into Ferrari and actually his qualifying is still being as poor as it was in the Mercedes. I don't have answers for Lewis. And is it simply the fact that Lewis has just lost it? Is that simply fact? Because, you know, he finished, we've said it before, you know, he had a great start today. He went up to like P13 after the first lap. it was circumstantial with people spinning and colliding, all of that stuff, which is what happens. But, you know, he ends up finishing with the disqualifications P8 now. But, you know, he's come out afterwards and he said, you know, Lewis Hamilton was spoken to about his race and he went, "I feel terrible. It's been the worst season ever. No matter how much I try, it just keeps getting worse." And I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. You're a Lewis Hamilton fan. And look, this is really, it's really painful to see, because I've stood by Lewis and gone, look, you just can't lose it. After that 21 season, you just can't lose it like that. But I'm seeing here going, like, is this the max we're going to see from Lewis Hamilton now? Has he truly, is it time for him? Is it time for Lewis Hamilton to retire before it gets worse? And I that pains me to say, and I'm like, I'm sitting here going, I don't want to see Lewis Hamilton ever leave the sport. But what I don't want for Lewis Hamilton is that he keeps going on the way it is. And people remember him for his poor performances and how his career ended compared to what he delivered in the sport. So I don't know. Is it close to Lewis Hamilton? Should he retire? I don't know.
Look, I think we've seen Lewis not get along with these cars. This new era of car, for whatever reason. Next year is going to be imperative to his career. As in, you know, is he going to continue in Formula One? Or is he going to step away? Because the thing is, right, is what Lewis Hamilton will not want is to be like Fernando Alonso. And doesn't matter what you think about Fernando Alonso, his career, this is gonna piss some people off, I don't really care. His career has been mediocre. Okay? Fernando Alonso won 2 world championships, which, by the way, is unbelievable. And I'm not saying Fernando Alonso is a mediocre driver. I'm saying his career has been nowhere near to the level that it should be for his quality. So this is kind of a backhanded compliment to Fernando Alonso if you're already annoyed at me. Fernando Alonso has spent the majority of his career fighting in the midfield. Well, this is a 2-time world champion. You know, if Lewis Hamilton is unable to extract performances and fight at the top, he's not going to want to sit there and be like, well, you know, at least I got P6 today. That's, you know, Lewis is better than that. And I think he will then be like, do you know what? I'm going to step away here, because Lewis is a 7-time world champion. No one's going to, you know, the same way in which no one looks at Michael Schumacher and remembers him for his time at Mercedes. You know, a fairly unglamorous time where he wasn't the Michael Schumacher that he was at Ferrari. And it's the same, you know, when Lewis retires, no one's going to be like, oh my God, do you remember the end of his career? That was, you know, bad. Everyone's going to remember Lewis Hamilton as the absolute killer that came in, made Fernando Alonso run away from McLaren, won a championship in his second season in the final corner of the final race. The final lap of the final race. The driver that then went on to drag a McLaren into championship battles year after year, who then went to Mercedes, won 8 Constructors' Championships in a row with them, winning 6 World Championships there, having one of the greatest championship battles ever in 2021, and some pretty good ones with his teammate Nico Rosberg, particularly 2016, which I know he lost, but that was an intense championship. That's what people will remember Lewis for. I just don't think he's going to want to settle for, you know, not racing for wins, because he's better than that.
Mm. I think we, you know, the likes of people who have watched F1 for years will always remember that. But obviously the new audience coming in will look at Lewis Hamilton going, well, his career wasn't that good, wasn't it? He went to Ferrari, this massive thing, and it was a fumble.
Yeah, but like anyone who thinks that, like, I'm sorry, if you are anyone who thinks that, like, you are just stupid. Because that would be like watching Michael Schumacher in the Mercedes and being like, he's not all he's cracked up to be. Like, mate, it's Michael fucking Schumacher. Like, yes, he is. It's just, it's nature, right? If Lewis Hamilton is past it, which I'm going to sit here and firmly say, I don't believe he is. I believe, right, if tomorrow we went back to the old era of cars, Lewis Hamilton would be fighting at the front of the field. I'm going to say, I genuinely just don't believe he's getting on with this car. Call it delusion, call it copium, whatever. That's my opinion. Might be wrong. It's just what I think. So I do believe if he sits in that 2026 car and he's like, yeah, I get this a bit of me, then I think we will see Lewis Hamilton at the front of the pack, because yeah, it doesn't just go. And Lewis has shown that on his day, he is still unbelievably quick. China sprint race, no one could get near him. When he is at one with the car, he is still Lewis Hamilton.
I agree, and you know, I think if you still, like we've said on this podcast before, that 21 season, he was phenomenal. Like, he took that car right to the end of the season with the championship battle with Max. And I've said this before, I don't believe that after 21 season that he just forgets how to drive. But I also do think that actually 2026, he needs to hit the ground running. And if he doesn't, then I would be sitting here going, actually, I think Lewis Hamilton is probably time to retire before it gets worse and worse for him. I mean, this is his worst season in F1 by far. I mean, this has been a shocker of the season. This move to Ferrari was meant to be a massive move, you know, a big change for Ferrari. If anything, it's been a horror show. But look, I think next year is key for Lewis and Ferrari. You know, Ferrari are going to finish fourth in the constructors after today, with, you know, Mercedes picking up the more points with Kimi going onto the podium now. Mercedes are comfortably P2. Red Bull, if Max Verstappen keeps winning, is comfortably P3. So Ferrari, they're going to be finishing P4 this season. And for a team like Ferrari, we said last week, is poor.
And you know, this has been a horror season for Lewis Hamilton, but this also has been a horror season for Ferrari. And he's kind of unlucky, because he has come into Ferrari at the worst time in this era. You know, Charles Leclerc finished last season on like 350 points. Charles Leclerc is on 220 something points this season. You know, that's 130 points across a season is crazy. Look, if Charles Leclerc had an extra 130 points last season, he would have won the championship. So that's a huge drop-off in performance. And
Didn't we say at the beginning of the season, when Ferrari finished P2 in the Constructors last year, went down to the final day of the season, you know, and we said, you know, when they came out at the end of the season, we've changed like 99% of the car for the 2025 season. Why? Why have you messed it up so bad that you were pretty dominant last year? You had some fantastic, you were picking up wins and all of this stuff, and then you just decided to change 99% of the car, and then you're like, what do you expect? Like, Ferrari have been woeful this year, absolutely woeful. But look, just finishing off Ferrari, you know, Charles Leclerc P6, he qualified P9, he ends up finishing P4 with the disqualifications of McLaren. You know, again, another shit show for this Ferrari team this weekend. And for me, as a Ferrari fan, as a Lewis fan, I cannot wait for this season to be done.
Yeah, same. To be honest, I say that as an F1 fan, really. I'm ready, more than ready, to say goodbye to these cars. And if they want, I'll fly over to Abu Dhabi and pack them up myself and ship them off. Goodbye to this era of car. That's all I can say. They've been shit.
Right, as we've been talking about the top teams, let's go to Red Bull, shall we? Look, Yuki Tsunoda, he finished P14 today, but it was another shocking weekend for Yuki. surely we're going to hear soon that he's not going to have a seat for 2026 with the Red Bull team, surely. But let's talk about Max Verstappen, because look, when they lost Christian Horner, we're a bit skeptical, kind of going, how is this team going to go? But Laurent Mekis has gone in there and their performances, they've turned it around. They've really turned it around. Max Verstappen, obviously starting P2, great overtake. Well, I say great overtake. He literally just had to go around because Lando Norris decided to go off the track. But, you know, right from turn one, Max Verstappen never looked like losing that race. He was in control. And even the funniest thing about Max Verstappen is even on the last lap, he was putting in purple sectors in sector one and sector two on the last lap. You know, he was about 16 seconds ahead of Lando Norris. He ended up finishing 20 seconds. We know Lando had an issue, but another weekend. And what more do you say about Max Verstappen? He's just phenomenal, isn't he?
Yeah. Look, Max is... If you're anyone, any team, you would want Max Verstappen driving your car. It's as simple as that. That's the highest compliment I can give him, because he just delivers. He's just fucking cold-blooded, just robotic. He just... When it's... He doesn't look like winning, right? At no point throughout this weekend where you're like, oh, you know, Max could be in with a shot here. It kind of looked decisively Lando this weekend. Like, qualifying, super impressive. And you just thought, yeah, well, Lando's just going to run off with it. No, you know... And granted, Max didn't even need to do much. All he needed to do was just stay on the track. And he took the position. But then to actually then just drive off down the road is exactly what Max does. So, yeah. But realistically, Yuki is going to lose his seat at Red Bull. There's no way they'll keep him. I think we've discussed the potential of, like, well, do they need stability?
No.
They need a driver that is going to show up, and it's not worked out for Yuki. It's clear Isaac Hadjar is going to get the call up. This is, you know, this is where I would put my money. Isaac Hadjar will come up to Red Bull. Yuki will lose his seat, and what we'll probably see is Arvid Lindblad get the other seat at Racing Bulls. And I don't believe Liam Lawson deserves to lose his seat at Racing Bulls. I think what Racing Bulls have shown over the years is that actually it can be quite good to keep one driver there consistently. And Liam Lawson, now that he has really settled in at Racing Bulls, I think he's doing a fine job. You know, he qualified P6 this weekend. A little bit unlucky in the start of the race, but say unlucky, he should have used his brakes. But you know, I think they should keep Liam Lawson. I think he deserves a seat for next year.
Quick question, right? Say Max Verstappen goes on and wins this championship. Mm-hmm. Is this one of the biggest fumbles in F1 history for a championship? Because McLaren looked odds on for a driver's world championship this year, and they may still do it. But if Max Verstappen wins,
100%. Look, this, I don't want to take anything away from Max, because Max has been very good, very, very good. But I do believe if Max wins the championship, it's way more to do with McLaren fumbling it than it is to do with Max being relentless, right? Max has kind of done the best that he can. He's won when the opportunity's there. He's made the most of McLaren's misfortunes. And I think if it did happen, McLaren will get to the end of the season and be scratching their heads and be like, how the fuck have neither of our boys won the world championship here? And that is, I don't care what, you know, Zach Brown, Andrea Stella comes out and says, the drivers' championship is the biggest accolade in F1. And even as a team, you know, it's way better for McLaren to have a world championship, as in a drivers' championship, than it is the constructors. I'm sorry, that is true. And if they don't win it this year, they will be thinking, what went wrong here?
Well, what went wrong is they were playing the team game all throughout the year by, you know, going back and forth, you know, with team orders and all of that stuff at the beginning of the season. That's what kind of would be my thought process when you look back. And if Max, look, I still personally think Lando is favourite to go and win the title. I do. I think on his performance, again, he looked great today. I do think on form, take away the disqualification, for me, Lando Norris is still favourite to go on and win that championship. But I can't quite... I'm kind of ruling out Oscar Piastri at the moment, and that pains me to say, just again on form. But Max Verstappen, he's one of a kind. It's going to be interesting next two races. I'm excited. And especially Qatar. I love Qatar. One of my favourite tracks. So I'm buzzing for that. Right, we've obviously been talking almost 50 minutes. So let's round up some of the other teams. Carlos Sainz qualified P3, ended up finishing P7. Alex Albon ended up DNFing. But another great weekend for Carlos Sainz. Looking more and more at one with his car and the team now, which is really good to see. You're starting to see the class which we knew which Carlos Sainz had.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos has just been getting better and better. And obviously with the double disqualification, he copped a P5. So, yeah, I said this in the chat. Alex Albon is... I do question his wheel-to-wheel racing sometimes. But a disappointing weekend for Alex in the end. I do think Williams have a great driver lineup. I do think Alex Albon needs to... I feel like he's got temper issues this season. I really do. You know, he crashed into the wall and instantly came over the radio and blamed it on his engineer. Too much talking. And, you know, whether that's true or not, I think it's a little bit rich when you're the man that's just stuck it in the wall. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't the engineer driving. Yeah, it's a bit of a carbon copy of what Lewis did last week, really, but just drove into the back of Lewis Hamilton. And, ultimately, DNF'd, and I think he'll probably be disappointed, especially seeing that Carlos Sainz was able to qualify P3 and then finish, well, got that classified as P5. So, yeah, but Williams aren't going to be disappointed with this season at all. But I do want to see Alex Albon taking a chill pill next season. Just calm down, Alex. Just
take it easy.
Relax.
Take it easy. We briefly touched on racing balls, but Isaac Hadjar ended up finishing P8, will actually be a P6 after the disqualifications. Another solid weekend for Isaac. Obviously disappointing for Liam Lawson. But overall, good weekend for RBs. Good weekend. And Isaac Hadjar once again showing why he should be promoted to that Red Bull seat for next year. Haas. Ocon P11, Behrman P12. Disappointing weekend for Haas because at some point they had some quite good pace. But that just seemed to... There was no real consistency throughout that race for them.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton struggled overtaking Esteban Ocon. Like, that was seemingly a real challenge. Ollie Behrman's race slipped away from him a little bit. But look, ultimately, with the double disqualification, they got points. They got P9, P10. And there is a real battle for that seventh spot this season. Now, you've got Kix Alba on 68 points, Aston Martin on 72, and Haas on 73. So, you know, there's three teams that are going for that seventh spot, and that is going to make a real difference in terms of cash.
No,
for next season. So that is one to watch out for because it is unpredictable. You know, who's going to pick up those final spots in the top 10, the points positions? And I think there's everything to play for those teams. And, you know, Nico Hülkenberg this week picked up, I think, in the end.
Ultimately a P7.
P7. So, and also it's important to say that, you know, he came in, I think, a lap after Lewis, actually was pulling away from him. They were both on the same tyre, so very impressive from Nico Hülkenberg. We should talk about his teammate Gabriel Bortoleto, who seemingly forgot that he has to brake when you head into a corner. And
It looked like he wanted to go ten-pin bowling today, because he was just like, wasn't going to stop whatsoever. So rare mistake from Bortoleto. But Sauber would be very happy with those points they're coming away with from Las Vegas, especially with a disqualification.
Yes. Yeah. It was, you know, six points is a big points haul. And when I say there's 5 points between finishing, was it P9 and P7? So I think, yeah, that's a big points haul from them. And I think Bortoleto will probably look back at that incident and cover his eyes, because it was quite comical. It was, to be fair. Like, it was funny. He just... I respected it. The, like, you know, he's like, fuck it. Like, I can break late here, go down the inside. There's a gap. Probably braked a little bit too late. Or maybe not at all. And he did just smash into the unsuspecting Lance Stroll.
We'll have to
look. But yeah, like you say, it's a rare mistake from Bortoleto, and he's been great this season. I just think he won't watch this one back.
No. Poor Lance Stroll. Obviously got taken out. But Fernando Alonso, P13, ended up being P11. But a difficult weekend for Aston Martin, especially with, you know, when you look at qualifying, Fernando Alonso qualified P7, you think to yourself, actually, they've got quite a good chance to pick up some points. So they'll be disappointed to leave this weekend only picking up a P11. Especially with how qualifying went for them. But yeah, Lance Stroll, that's the issue. When you qualify when you go out in Q1, you're always at risk of these DNFs, these collisions, these, you know, pile-ups. And once again, Lance Stroll was a victim. You know, normally we say he's the one who's doing the taken out, but this week it was him being taken out. So yeah, disappointing weekend for Aston Martin, especially how Saturday did look for Fernando Alonso. Alpine, P15 for Pierre Gasly, 17 for Colapinto Pinto again. I've got no real words to say for Alpine. I think they're a bit of a joke of a team at this moment in time. And I really hope that they actually turn that around for next year and they bring a good car, because I think they have, in theory, they've got a very good driver in Pierre Gasly. They've obviously signed Colapinto. I'd like to see them do well, because we've seen it in the past. Only a few years ago, they were challenging McLaren, do you know what I mean, for like, what, P5 or P4 in the Constructors. So I'd like to see them turn it around. But yeah, a disappointing weekend for Alpine.
Yeah, and another very disappointing weekend for Franco Colapinto. You know, finished dead last, was lapped. I think next season, I want to see the Franco Colapinto that we're told about.
Yeah.
Because I'm yet to see it. And I've, look, I'm not going to discredit him. I do think he's improved as the season has gone on. But right now, I still stand by the fact that I'm not sure it was worth getting rid of Jack Doohan for Franco Colapinto.
No. I would have kept Jack Doohan, in all honesty. Just finishing on driver standings. So obviously, Lando Norris is 300 after disqualification, 390 points. Oscar Piastri, Max Verstappen, 366 points. George Russell is still there in 294. And after that is Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Antonelli, Alex Albon, Isaac Hadjar, and Nico Hülkenberg. Then when we're looking at the team standings, well, this is where it gets interesting, because McLaren, they're walking away with it. They've already won the championship, 756 points. You've got Mercedes, who look reasonably comfortable now in P2 with 431. You've got Red Bull with 391. And actually, what, 13 points behind, you've got Ferrari with 378. But if you look, and then as you said earlier on, you've got Williams, RBs, Haas. And there's lonely Alpine at the bottom with 22 points. But it's going to get interesting. The constructors, I would say McLaren and Mercedes are pretty comfortable in P1 and P2. Well, McLaren are definitely comfortable in P1. But I would say if Red Bull and Max Verstappen continue the way they are and Ferrari's performances continue the way they are, then I think Red Bull will snatch P3 with Ferrari P4, in all honesty.
Yeah, but I mean, quite embarrassing that Red Bull have done that with one driver. So I'm just going to refer back to John Elkann's comments about, well, the team have done quite a good job this season. What, because you've got the fastest pit stop on average, mate? You're P4 in the constructors. You've gone backwards from last year heavily. And you're also being beaten by a team that has one driver. So, yeah, anyone who looks at this season for Ferrari and thinks, well, it's not been bad, give your head a wobble.
Yeah, exactly. Just quickly looking ahead, obviously we've got Qatar next week, sprint race. So just quickly timing-wise, FP1 is 1:30 till 2:30 on Friday. Then sprint qualifying is 5:30 until 6:14 on Friday evening. The sprint race is at 2 till 3 on Saturday, and then qualifying is 6 till 7, with the race being 4 o'clock on the Sunday. But Luke, the all-important question, who is the top three for the Qatar Grand Prix?
Lewis Hamilton to win.
Oh, here we go.
I'm joking. I reckon Lando Norris, Max Verstappen, Oscar Piastri.
All right. I'm going to go Max win, Oscar Lando. I'm saying this, and I've said this I'm saying it like last year when Lewis Hamilton, I was hoping Lewis Hamilton would, you know, get on the podium. I'm going to say it. I'm hoping we see the return of the real Oscar Piastri next week, and you know he's been given back and his performance has improved. That's what I'm hoping. I'm just hoping.
I join you on that. Look, I said in an ideal world, Lando will get no points, not because I don't want him to win. I've already said I don't care. I want Abu Dhabi to be the decider. And if we get to Abu Dhabi and Lando Norris wins, great. If we get to Abu Dhabi, Piastri wins, great. If we get to Abu Dhabi and Max wins, yeah, that'll be a bit tough to take, but great, because he will deserve it. I just want to see a fight in Abu Dhabi. That's all I want.
So there we go. That is the end of the podcast. Do let us know what... let us know what your thoughts are on all the things which we've discussed today. Both McLaren is disqualified. Championship battle heating up. Can Max do it? Do let us know. Do drop a comment. We'll be back next week reviewing the Qatar Grand Prix, where, you know, hopefully we're going into Abu Dhabi with, you know, a real championship battle, a close championship battle with that. So yeah, do get involved. If you're watching on YouTube, do drop a comment, do get involved. If you're watching on or listening on Spotify, you can drop us a comment on there. We really appreciate it. And we'll say hello to our friend Nathan, because obviously, you know, from last week, you know, he commented again. So have a great week, and we shall see you soon. Bye bye.